You, thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with. Okay, very good. Just as a little background, we're from Quinter, Kansas. How many people know where Quinter, Kansas is? Well, look at that. I'm amazed. Straight west of here, about 200 miles. Maybe not quite 200. 180, we'll say. But I was born and raised there. I'm a farmer, and I've been a Gideon for about 30-some years, 37 or somewhere in there. Raised in a Christian home, accepted Christ when I was 16, and did what a lot of kids do. That was enough for right then. I slid off the edge, kind of. Not very far, but anyway, Beth and I got together in college. We have three children, 18 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. God has blessed us in a mighty, mighty way, and they're following the Lord, which is a huge blessing in our life. So we were 30, 34, 35 years old, and you remember the prayer of Jabez? The prayer of Jabez, broaden my horizons, my boundaries. And we prayed that. And it wasn't long. I don't place it at all in that prayer, but we had a feeling that we were not doing everything that God would ask us to do as believers. We're called to share the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. And so we felt an urge to do something, but we didn't know what. We were invited to go to a Gideon meeting, and we felt called to do that. And we decided that we would be involved in that ministry. So that's become our life, serving Jesus through that. So through that, I'll just say that God has taken me, a Western Kansas farm kid, to places that I never intended to go. It's been an eye-opening experience. It's been a lot of fun. When you say yes to Jesus, sometimes you're in for a ride that you don't expect. So I've been able to travel with Beth here in the United States a lot. We've been in how many states? I don't know. Unnumbered states. And in 2004, I went on an extension action program sharing scriptures in Brazil. That was my first trip out of the country. A very eye-opening experience for me. And later I went to Zimbabwe and East Africa and on another one of those. And about the same time, they called me to visit camps in other countries. So I've been in South America and many trips to South America and to Africa. I never wanted to go to Africa. I just said, I don't really care if I ever go there or not. So guess where God takes you when you say. Incidentally, when I joined the Gideons, I said, I'll do anything you ask me to do, but don't ever ask me to talk in front of people because that's just not me. God has a sense of humor about things like that. So here I am in Abilene, Kansas again. This is my third time in this church, so I go back further than some of you. No. Anyway, we had our state convention in Junction City this weekend, and so we're just on our way home from Junction City. Give you a little background to that. The Gideons are still involved in sharing the word wherever we can. We have given more than 3.65 billion, with a B, scriptures in the world. And we do it the same mode everywhere. We give to the school children, fifth grade and above, those who can read well, to high schools if we can't get into the grade schools. And we go to colleges and universities. We place the Bibles in hotels and motels, doctors and dentists' offices, veterinarians' offices, attorneys' offices. Try to cover the highways and byways of life where people are and where they are hurting. And people say, why don't you give to adults? Well, we have two things for that. We don't have enough money to give to adults. Children are also a more fertile ground. And it's amazing how many children take a scripture, take it home, and sometimes it sits on a shelf, sometimes it gets read, but they and their families can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by reading God's word. And there are thousands and thousands of people who can attest to that. And it's just really, really fun to know that somewhere, someplace, that scripture is going to come to mind from an individual, and they'll start reading and come to find a Savior in Jesus. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I please. And God, that's a promise. When God sends his word out, it accomplishes what he wants it to do. So a little background, that's just kind of a small picture, but that's Africa. And over on the left-hand side of that, you can see a blue circle. I've gone to Ghana now four, something like that. Anyway, Ghana has kind of become my country. It's been a project because there have been some issues with the ministry in Ghana that required a little extra help. So that's where I've been going to help them get rolling again and get up to speed. I just got back 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, yesterday. Yeah, 4 weeks ago yesterday. That's a picture of Ghana. You see the two little circles there. Accra is the capital. It's about 3.5 million people, about like a couple towns in western Kansas. And I also go to Kumasi, which is to the left and up from Accra, and it's only 3 million people. Both huge cities, sprawling cities. To give you a little background on Ghana, well, let's go this one first. You see the continent of Africa outlined in gray there? And I don't know if you can read those, and I can't from even where I am. So I'll just say the red one in the upper left is Russia, superimposed over Africa. The middle one on top is the U.S., superimposed on Africa. China, in the upper right. Brazil, in the lower left. Europe, in the lower middle center. And India, in the lower right. So Africa is a huge, huge place. Not that it means anything, it's just interesting. This is background. Ghana has a GDP in the country of $7,156, which means it's in the top edge of, well, Nigeria is way above, but most of Africa is much poorer than that. $7,100. Liberia has $1,800 roughly. Cote d'Ivoire, right next door to Ghana, is $6,800. Togo, right to the next door to the other side, $2,900. Mozambique, on the other side of the country, east side of the country, $1,600. Cuba, $12,000. I saw a flag for Cuba here somewhere. Haiti, $3,000. USA, $85,000. Ireland, $133,000. Luxembourg, the wealthiest country in the world, $143,000. just interesting to know some of those facts. And May doesn't have anything to do with who we are or what we are, other than to say that people are the same no matter where you go. They have the same amount of greed and jealousy and envy, I think, as wealthy people do. Just comes out in a different way. The human condition is one of three-letter word, sin. And sin is only taken care of by one person, Jesus, through the word. That's my sermon in a sentence. This is my go-to man in Ghana. He has become a very close brother and friend. His name is Emmanuel Mano. That's his wife, Gloria, with him. And we've worked together. We do work together. Incidentally, there are very few people in Africa that I've found, and especially in Ghana, that don't have a smartphone. And they love to use them. So they send me from 10 to, I think I've had over 120 pictures sent in one day, some days. So it's very, very active. But it's fun. Things are happening there, and God is working. This is some of the people that I work with. The man in the middle is a pastor of a church. There are a lot of churches in Ghana. And just to give you a little background of that, that there are over 600 Assembly of God churches, a lot of Pentecostal churches. Ghana is just a little bigger than the state of Kansas, a little larger. But there are a lot of churches. The man in the middle is a pastor of one of those churches. He grew up in the north of Ghana where there is more Muslim influence. And he was the son of an imam, a Muslim imam, which is a pastor of a Muslim church, if you will, in our vernacular. So how did he become a pastor of a Christian church coming from a Muslim home? Read the word. He got a Bible when he was in fifth grade. He had a neighbor lady who was a Christian, and she invited him to come to church. And how he did that, I didn't get the full story. I need to talk to him. His name is Irvin. Got to know him well. We've had some good discussions. She invited him to church. He went once, and he thought this is... He was older, in high school. And he started reading the Bible and came to saving knowledge of Jesus through that reading his testament. So his father became ill, and as the imam, he was the spiritual leader in that village. His father became ill and died a couple of years later, and about the time that Irvin became old enough to carry, he would be expected to be the next imam. He didn't have that. He was a Christian by that point. And most of the people, it's strange how God works. Most of the people said, if the imam couldn't hold his family together, we don't want to go to this Muslim temple either. So they quit going. And he said, now that village is predominantly Christian. So it's just strange how God works. His wonders to perform. I spend a lot of time visiting with the camps, the groups of Gideons in Ghana, and I'm giving training here. That was just a month or 6 weeks ago that I was there. And it's fun to see people get engaged in serving God in this way. Some camps are big, some camps are small. This camp was one that's very struggling. There's two men there that are from that camp, just outside of Kumasi. But they have nine more men that are ready to start working with them. So growth is there. This is a group, another camp that I visited. Actually, several camps represented in that picture. Men and women that we get to interact with. So when I got there, Emmanuel handed me a little magazine that they printed. And I read through that magazine, and it's, you know, it's 20 pages, mostly pictures. And I got all through it, and I laid it down, and we were visiting. And about 3 minutes later, I looked down at the front of that, and I thought, oh, that's me on the front cover. So I felt really honored to be on the front cover of a national magazine that not very many people will ever see. Pastors, these are pastors from churches in that area. We have a paradigm that we ask the pastor to give us names of people in their congregation that would be willing to serve to help spread God's word. And you have to be a member of a church, and you have to have the pastor's recommendation in order to be a Gideon. So pastors are very important to us, and I've visited a lot of pastors. Last year when I was there, I probably visited upwards of 100 pastors in a two-week period, and sit down with them and just talk about the ministry and how we can help them in their church, and how they can help us with manpower and woman power to spread God's word, because it takes all of it. The church has always been our mode of raising funds to provide the scriptures also. So the church is very necessary. You can't read that sign. I think it says, oh, I can't think of what it says. I'll have to get close. Each one, send one. That's I can't read it either from this point. Anyway, Jesus is coming again. And it's just interesting to see in that country where 52% of the people go to church every Sunday, a little higher than the United States, which I think about, 20%, according to the latest 20% of the people go to church on Sunday. In Ghana, 52% of the people go to church on Sunday. A lot of Christians there. So you see things, signs like that on the back of backs of vehicles and on street signs and so forth. One day we did a distribution. I've helped with a lot of distributions, and I try to do that with each camp. You don't see the size of that building, but there were 5,000 students in that building that day. It was a government boarding school, and all the students there are senior high students. And of the 5,000, of which many of them were inside, 5,000 were inside the building, and about 1,000 outside the building. It was overflowing. There were about 50, I would guess, that did not take a testament. And some of the Muslims do not. Some of them do if another Muslim is not close to them. If they can get by with it, they will take one. Beth was with me at Colby Community College a couple years ago, and we weren't working side by side, but she had the occasion where a Muslim student came by with two girls, walked by, the other two girls took a testament. About 3 minutes later, she came back by with two girls, and the other two girls took a testament, and she did not. And then about 10 or 15 minutes later, this girl came by herself and took a testament and immediately stuck it in her pocket and hightailed it for her dorm. You have to know that God has a purpose for her. He has a purpose for his word. And his word will not return void. So we gave a testament to those children, those students. When you bring things like that on, if they see me touch a box of Bibles, I almost get slapped down. They grab the boxes. I am not to touch carry a box. That's considered bad taste. For an old man or a foreigner to touch one of those heavy boxes. They weigh about 40 pounds, 30 pounds, I don't know. You see some of the students outside. See some of the students again outside. You can't see it on the picture there very well, but toward the back there's a group of girls standing on a little rise in the hill, and those are the Muslim students. On the other side of that were the boys, and it happened that my driver took that picture just as I was figuring out that those were the Muslim students that didn't want a testament. I was offering them one at that exact moment. So this was a counterpart, a junior high school of the previous school. And we went there and gave testaments. There were about 1,000 students at that school. They brought them from the school over to the, they had kind of a, I suppose it's called an auditorium. It was just an empty building. They all stood around in there and we gave them their testaments. But as they were coming, there was one little boy that was very visible. He was toward the front of the line, and he had, instead of the tight curls that the black people usually have, his curls were loose and they were long. And as he came there, one of the teachers grabbed him and said, "You're Muslim, you can't have one of these. They're given Bibles today. You can't have one." And no sooner has she said that than the headmaster said, "Sure, go on in and get one. You need one." That wouldn't happen in the United States, first of all. But the boy went, and he was very visible to me. But guess which boy came back to thank me when he left? He came and said, "Thank you for the testament." I didn't say that. Most people in Ghana do speak English. It's different. It's English English, so it's different, and it's got a lot of local flavor thrown in, but they speak English. And that little boy came and thanked me for that testament. This is the headmaster. Wherever you go in all of Africa, there's got to be ceremonies, and it's got to be done in the right way. And incidentally, for instance, some things you just do. If you take a gift or give a gift, you give it with your right hand. Always. That's just culture. There are some things that are very offensive to them, and that's one of them. One of the things I have to learn. You don't correct someone in front of people, other people. You get them off the side. They're very cautious about that. A Methodist girls' school, 3,700 students. They all had the same uniform. All of these students. It amazed me at that building full of students with 5,000 students in it. There was talk, but in the United States, you walk in a building with 6,000 students, someone is going to be out of control. No one was out of control. They were very polite. They were quiet. They would thank me, thank us. And I saw no evidence of anyone misbehaving. It's just unreal. It tells me that it's possible. I don't know quite what we're doing wrong, but there's a few things that other people do better than we. I think that must be all I have. So, Just want to thank you for your support of the Gideons, and remember to pray for us. You have the opportunity to give today as the Lord will lay in your heart. I tell the people in Ghana, you don't have to give much. Little, we take offering, and little turns into big, because God's in it. So give as God would lead you. One testament like this is about $1.60, and that provides for the printing and placement somewhere in the world. And each year we place about 75,000. Ghana has been had a little problem. There was a little glitch in the ministry, so we didn't get scriptures over there for a while the last couple of years, but we sent 550,000 in a year ago in April, and 480,000 of those have been distributed to date. So around the world, we give about 72 million per year. So you can do the math. It takes a lot of scriptures. And in hotels, hospital rooms, we place full Bibles or full Bibles with Psalms and Proverbs. So it takes a lot of scriptures. Anybody have any questions? Okay.
Do you guys, I assume y'all print them in the different languages that you send them to, right? You said in Ghana a lot of people speak English. Is there like a native tongue that they still speak as well? Or
There is. Some of those native tongues we print. Some we do not. In most of those countries in Africa, at least, speak English, French, or Portuguese. So those are the primary countries in Africa. Although in South Africa, they have 9 different languages that they provide scriptures in. We also have a Bible app that is being used more and more. There are over 2,000 languages, and many of those tribal languages. Ghana, for instance, has over 200 languages that are called tribal languages. You can't print them all. So if they can read English, they get an English Testament. The tribal languages are available on the Bible app, and they can also play them audibly, which is a neat feature. So, yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for your time, and God bless you.